Psychedel.
Thank you.
Morning, Frank.
Good morning.
We got Ed and Annette this morning.
Oh man. Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
Better than I was yesterday.
No, okay.
Less well than yesterday.
No, Annette says I'm less well than I was yesterday.
Oh no.
That must mean I'm well because she's still speaking for me.
Okay, well, it's good to hear from you both. That's been a long road, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Every day is a new turn in the road.
Yeah, well, overall, how do you feel right now?
Well, you know, Frank, some days I feel great and some days I don't, but whenever I go to see a doctor, they tell me that they think I'm going to die pretty soon. So that doesn't help my attitude for the day. The good thing is that they don't know what they're talking about. So.
Yes, that's, wow.
And the good thing is you don't see a doctor every day.
That's a real good thing, Karen.
Yeah. Mm.
Yeah, I guess they really don't have any bedside manners anymore.
No, on the contrary, they seem to want to make sure you understand that there's not a lot of hope. That's, at least half of them say that. And anyway, it's okay. I'm doing fine. I'm sure a lot of other people in life are suffering, and I've got a woman that takes care of me and just all sorts of good things. So I've got nothing to complain about.
Have you been able to have much interaction like you used to with Jake?
No, I can't even whistle, which was a big part of our interaction. And so, no, we're not doing too
good. Jake doesn't like it because he's wearing a hat. Because his head is shaved, and he has to wear an eye patch, so he looks like a stranger.
Mm. Sounds like he looks like a pirate.
I do.
Well, we're glad that you're home and that you're feeling good enough to log in. That's a big plus.
Yep.
We've been praying for sure.
Thank you, Blake.
And that was tough.
How's your grandmother?
She's good. She's better than all of us, I think.
That's good.
I believe 90 years old or about to be, and you're just like, I don't get it.
Wow, that's neat.
Besides her eyesight, I mean,
how about your grandmother, Frank?
She's hanging in there.
And she had her, what, 92nd birthday?
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Yeah, she's having the go of it too.
Yeah.
So we, keep all the members, the body in prayer, day to day.
What's going on with your grandmother, Bray?
No, that's what I was saying. She's doing better than all of us, I think.
Yeah. What are her physical disabilities?
She's had vision trouble. You know, she's pretty much almost legally blind, probably. Just, you know, glaucoma and just natural stuff, just macular degeneration or whatever it's called.
Yeah. Is she living alone?
No, she's been, she lives over there at the Bellevue Woods.
Oh, okay.
She's assisted living, but I mean, the only thing she fell like Thanksgiving, but yeah. It's like she just messed up a rib or two and, you know, she's almost completely healed.
Good.
So she's rocking and rolling.
All right.
Like I said, for 90, it's hard to believe.
Yeah.
But other than that, I guess our side's doing all right.
Well, we were wondering what part of the Word of God we're studying in these days.
Oh, we just took up some character studies. And right now we were going into leaving Adam and going into Eve, but we got some stuff to finish up with Adam today.
All right.
And basically looking at not just how to look at it from an overall picture, but how it relates to us practically also. Okay. So that's where we are right now. Let's see here.
Hey, Sharon and Lawrence.
Hey, good morning. How we doing today?
Good. We got Ed and Annette today.
Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Look at God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Praise God.
Amen. Whoa.
Yes.
That's good.
Thank you, God, for the enthusiasm of the body.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Hi, Ed. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Okay. Oh, my God. Babe, wake up. It's Ed. Ed in the net. Ed in the net.
Hey,
oh, praise Jesus.
How you feeling, Ed?
I'm doing about as good as I'm doing.
Amen.
Well, good. That's
praise
great.
God. Amen. Thank you, God. Woo, that was good.
Yeah.
That'll get you out of bed, won't it?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Good.
Oh, we all awake now, right?
Yeah, we ready now. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, good morning, everybody.
Good morning, lovely lady.
Amen. Praise Jesus. Thank you.
Yes. Yes.
Ooh, praise Jesus. Thank you, God.
We're proud to be.
Amen.
Yeah, from you, man.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
God bless.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Whew. Praise God. Amen.
Don't you worry, Lawrence. One day we're going to be talking to each other from a lot closer.
Amen. Yes. Amen.
Yes, yes.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Well, we're glad to hear you talking strong now.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen. God. Praise God. Well, all
and,
right.
And how you doing?
Annette?
Oh. I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. I'm still here. The strength I need to get through it all.
Amen.
Okay.
And he will. You know I know, right? You know I know.
I know you do, girl.
You know I know. Praise God. I'm so thankful. God is so faithful. He is so faithful.
Yes. Yeah.
Good morning,
God.
Johnny. How are you doing?
I'm doing okay. I've gotten a lot better. I actually went somewhere in the car yesterday.
Oh, good.
Yeah, so.
What happened to you, Johnny?
Huh?
What happened to you?
I began to have a real bad back problem. I had sciatica really bad.
Whoa.
Yeah, so I couldn't even walk for like 2 or 3 weeks.
Wow.
I'm blessed. I would like to ask you guys to keep in your prayers. Like my family hometown, it got destroyed the other day.
Oh, down in Mississippi. Oh gosh.
Yeah, 33 dead so far.
Oh, it's a heartbreak, Johnny. Oh.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like, so many memories. And it's just gone.
Yes.
Wow. We will put it in the hands of the Lord for sure.
Amen.
Wow. Yeah, I don't know if y'all saw that that weathercaster on that was doing the live weather that night.
Yeah.
And when he saw that tornado, he just stopped and prayed to Jesus right there on the news.
Sure did. Yeah. Wow. Jesus.
I'm so sorry for your loss, Johnny.
Amen. Absolutely. Amen.
Yeah. And, I'm also worried about my father.
Have you heard from him, Johnny?
Well, he's here in Tennessee.
Oh, okay.
Not doing well.
Yeah, when I first heard about it, I looked up the distance from Amory to Holly Springs because I didn't know if Sharon and Lawrence were in that vicinity, but it's like 70 miles or 90 miles, so I thought, okay, well, they're probably all right.
It passed over us.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
So was it Rolling Hills?
What about your father, Johnny? What about your father, Johnny?
Yeah, what about him?
He fell out of the bed. And he couldn't get up.
Oh.
And just laid there for like 6 hours.
Oh.
How long?
6 hours.
How did you find out?
My niece and my nephew told me that they came in and found him like that.
Apparently he's been to the hospital or to see a doctor, or what's going on now?
Well, he has, because he sees several doctors, he has a specialist he's seeing. But they believe that his weakness, I believe, and lethargy is due to, like, his kidneys are down to, like, 25%
function. Yeah, I can understand that.
So, yeah, I mean, it's been a week.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm so encouraged.
We will keep all of your family and you in prayer. I'm so sorry, Johnny.
So thankful.
Well, this is really hard. This is a hard day for a lot of us. And one of the things that we can draw strength from is that we all are hearing each other's story, and it doesn't mean that it's a good thing to hear, but it's not something that we didn't think that we were going to hear. You know what I'm saying? Let's look at some verses before we get started and try to find some comfort from the Word of God and from each other as we look at these things. So, well, thank you all for taking out time to join us in our study. Whether you hear from us or not, we are always praying for each one of you, each situation. And you guys don't hear about everybody's situation, but I assure you that we all are going through something. And we have people that are dear and near to us, like you all, who are family and spiritual family, who are going through things that they don't have anybody else to turn to but the Lord. And that's okay with him. That's how he designed it, is when the body can only take you so far, you have to turn to the head. So we remember each other in prayer and our various needs. And let's open up in prayer as we look at some of these things in God's word. Now, Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your grace, your mercy, for your long suffering, for your comfort and your strength. As we look into your word, we're looking, as always, for more insight, for more enlightenment, for, in particular, for prayer and supplication for those who are grieving, those who are in sorrow and pain, not just physically, but also in a spiritual and emotional state. That needs supplication. We thank you for recording things in your word for this very reason, to comfort us, to strengthen us as we go through these things, the sufferings of this present time. And we pray as we look at these things that we might all be strengthened, encouraged, and edified in Christ. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
Okay. Well, this is a little roundabout, but what I will say is this. Again, thank you guys for sharing your stories. But I'll read this verse. I was thinking about this when we were talking. Paul talks about this in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, where the Corinthians had a problem with recognizing their integral relationship to one another. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 23. And those members of the body, which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. And our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schisms in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it, or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. And that's what I was thinking about. We were talking about these things. Every one of us, as members of the body, we are sharing in our pain and the suffering that we have because, well, if your toe hurts, you don't go on like nothing's happened, right?
No.
Or if your finger hurts, you don't go on like nothing. You recognize that as small as it is, it's a big part in how you feel. And to hear your stories, I have a very deep sadness because I know that you guys are dealing with something that's making you sad. And I don't have, we don't have those answers. We don't have answers within ourselves. So we have to turn to the head. We have to turn to the sustainer and the comforter of us. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. When Paul talks to the Corinthians in chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timothy our brother, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, with all the saints which are in Achaia, grace be to you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforted us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. Whatever we're going through, number one, it's not unique to our plight. We think that these things are uncommon because it happens to us. People have been going through pain and suffering, and saints. Saints are not exempt from pain and suffering. I think we know that, right? And the thing that sustains us is the word of God that tells us the things that we have to go through, the word of God that tells us the things that we can expect to go through, and the word of God that tells us as we go through these things that he is still there to comfort us, to strengthen us as we go through these ordeals. I think Paul says in Romans that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. These are things that we have to embrace, things that we have to let them settle in our hearts by faith. We have to really latch hold of these things to find comfort. In 2 Corinthians, Paul, he says that God is he's the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforted us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers of the sufferings, so shall ye be also of the consolation. Now, Paul is using this in a sense of the persecution that's coming from the gospel, but we can apply this to the sufferings of this present time. To hear what you guys are going through, to hear what some of you guys have been through, that comfort and consolation that you experience, you can use that for the comfort and consolation of your brother or your sister who may encounter, when I say may, it's just a matter of time, that where they will encounter some or some of those same things or something similar to it. And we can use that comfort and consolation, as Paul says, that as they are partakers of the suffering, they are also partakers of the consolation. So don't leave that part out. Nobody wants to say you need to go through this in order to learn this. But the truth is, you have to go through this in order to learn this. Romans chapter 5, Paul says this. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Now, one thing about this is this access into this grace wherein we stand. This is not just we're saved by grace, not of works, lest any man should boast. That's one aspect of it. The grace is a saving grace. It's an empowering grace. It's a comforting grace. It's a sustaining grace in all situations. And we have access into this grace. Verse 3, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Now, the tribulation works patience. Patience experience, experience hope. And we're going to find out here that this goes beyond salvation. Paul starts with this in verse 6. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Now, I just read that part because this grace that we have access to, it goes beyond salvation. If Christ loved you, the body, if he loved us enough to give himself for us when we were sinners and enemies and ungodly, do you think he has care for you now that you've been reconciled? Of course he does. I'm thinking if you go and buy a car you want to restore, if you felt enough about it to make that investment in hopes that you can restore it, don't you think that you'd have much more care in putting the things that needed to be repaired, putting care and time into that, a restoration process? Otherwise, you just scrap it. Christ died for us while we were sinners to show the great love wherewith he loved us. And the tribulation that we go through works patience. Patience, experience, and experience, hope. We can rest assured that even though we go through these things, God has not turned his back on us. He's not punishing us for something we didn't do or did do. That's a common misconception. Even now, we see these things happening in the world. And somebody might say, well, what did he do to make God angry? That God is punishing him. God is punishing her. That's not how God is operating today. These tribulations, the patience, the experience, these things are working together, as Paul said in Romans 8, that all things work together for good. Now, we know these verses by heart. He didn't say all things were good. He says all things, well, let's go over to Romans 8. All things work together for good. Romans 8, let's start at verse 18. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Do you believe that? Do we believe that? For I reckon, that's a intellectual estimation, a term where you sit down and you weigh all the facts out. Not reckon like, well, I guess it's going to happen. It's a reckon. It's an accounting term where you plus is over here, minus is over here.
Reconcile.
And you realize that the sum total is a good thing, right? You recognize that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. You know what's being revealed in us now? The sufferings. The natural man is perishing. The outward man is perishing. He's being sown in weakness. He's being sown in corruption. He's being sown in dishonor. He's being sown a natural body. But this package is not you. This package is not me. You just see the tent that I'm carrying around. But that's not who I, this is not who I am. This is just a form, the body of sins that I'm carrying around. And we know from scripture that this shell has to be put off. This seed that I'm, it has to be sown. You know, the seed has a covering over it, but the actual life-giving material is inside of the shell. And when the seed is sown, that shell disintegrates and it exposes the life-giving nuclei inside of it to the ingredients that causes it to grow into something else or to whatever was in itself. So what's in us, or I would say who's in us, is the inward man who was created by God. And that inward man, though the outward man perisheth, the inward man is renewed how often?
Day by day.
Day by day. So I think when Ed came on, he says, well, I feel better than I did yesterday. That's the outward man. But you know who feels better and better every day? The inward man. And we, it's important for us to give him attention. Because through him is where we get the comfort and the consolation. Ephesians, well, let's finish up here in Romans 8. For he says, I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waited for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope. You know why we are going through these things? Because that's God's design. He has subjected us to these things so that your expectation could be greater than the things that you suffer. That the experience of the glory would be better than the suffering. You know, the secular song, secular world, they, one of the ladies, I think her name was Betty Wright, and she would, has had a song, and she says, after, and one of the ladies can correct me if they, after the pain, then what? After the pain, you feel better. So in the spiritual sense, after the suffering, the expectation is the glory. These are things that we have to hold on to. The creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. We're waiting for that change. We're waiting for the adoption. And the older we get, the more impatient we get. I think that that was somebody else this morning said that, Pastor Smith said this morning, sometimes you hurt so bad, and we've said this before, that all you can say is, Lord, have mercy. And he usually does, because what he could do is, that could be your last day. But we have another day. Every day is another day to whine and complain. No, it's another day that we have, that his grace could be magnified in us, that others, you know, they can look and say, wow. You know, Pastor Watkins, he visited us one summer, and we went to the nursing home to see my aunt. And there was a man in the nursing home. He was in a wheelchair. He had no arms and he had no legs. And the pastor, we were in there and we were talking to my aunt, and we were coming out, and my cousin heard the pastor complaining about something. That man, he rode up to the door and he was saying, God bless you all. We're so glad y'all came to visit us and share, you know, your thoughts with us. And my cousin says, see that man right there? That man is out there being happy and thankful, and he doesn't have any arms or legs. And here you are walking around with arms and legs, and you complaining about something trivial. Now, think about this. Now, this is the pastor complaining. And here's a man that has no arms or legs, and he's finding the good part. That kind of puts some things in perspective. Knowledge is only good if you use it. The pastor is a man, and he would tell you, he's a man or mankind just like us. He's not exempt from failing grace. Just because you have access to it doesn't mean that we always use it. But it's always there. And it's there. It's especially helpful if you use it, but it helps a whole lot if you know where to get it. So we know where to get it. But verse 8:22, Paul says, for we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. We do know that, right? Johnny just told us that this whole town was decimated. Now, do you think that caught God by surprise? Nope.
No.
Do you think he caused it?
No.
It's the suffering. It's part of a cursed creation. It's the sufferings of this present time. And that creature, the creation itself, is groaning and travailing just like us. We're first in line. We're the first fruits of the, we have the first fruits of the Spirit. The creation is waiting for us. Verse 23. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves, groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. But if we hope for that we see not, what don't we see now?
We don't see that our incorruptible status.
The adoption of our body experienced. Now we see a temporary adoption? We see a Perry will help me out. What's a temporary adoption? Adoption is a permanent change, but we see a visitation maybe.
Foster home.
We see a foster home. It's called.
We have the earnest, but not the finalized transaction.
Yeah, I like that. I like what Johnny said. We have a foster home. When you go to foster homes, you don't know if that's your permanent family or not. Some may treat you well. Some may not treat you well. Ed has been to some foster homes. Those of us who have been sick, we go to foster homes. We call them hospitals. And when you go to the hospital, he may treat you right. He may not treat you right. He may speak rude to you. He may not speak rude to you. He may care about you. He may not care about you. But what we're hoping for, what we're waiting for, is that permanent home, that permanent condition where we have total acceptance, total health, total soundness, total stability. And if we have it now, then what are we hoping for? What a man seeth, why did he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. The Spirit maketh intercession. It helps our infirmities. Does he remove the infirmities? No. Well, in what sense is he helping our infirmities?
He reminds us of the promises that God has made to us.
Which would be?
There's a day coming that this old man, this old flesh, gonna be put off.
There's a promise that one day you won't have to deal with this. One day it won't be a patch. It'll be a new suit. We were going to a funeral last week and I went to put on my suit and it didn't fit. So I was like, man, okay. So I got another one. And it had moth holes in it. And I said, wow, this is not a good day right here. But I finally found one that did fit. But when I was searching, I was kind of in despair. So I'm thinking I don't have a whole lot to choose from. But my consolation came when I did find one. It had no holes. It did fit. And I was happy to wear it. But I'm equating this to the experience that we have while we're waiting. The Spirit helpeth our infirmities. In this sense, I know that this suit that you're in right now, you don't like wearing it anymore, or it's got a lot of issues with it, but we have another one, not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. And I hold your hand in 8. Let's go over to 2 Corinthians. We'll come back to chapter 8. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, I'm sorry. Well, I'm right. Chapter 4, start at verse 7. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be manifest in our body. That the life of Jesus, the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. Paul said, for to me to live is Frank.
Christ
is Christ.
So to me to live is Christ. So I'm saying that when people see us, do they see Melissa in action? Do they see Jenny in action? Do they see David in action? Or do they see Christ in action? You remember the big trend, right? WWJD. What would Jesus do? In our various situations, what would Jesus do? And in that situation, are we doing what Christ would do if he had this body? If he owned this body, what would he do with it? What would he do in it?
Well, according to Philippians 2, he humbled himself even to the point of death and death to the cross. And that's the mind we're supposed to have in us.
Okay. So if, and that's a hypothetical if he has your body, insert your name here, what should be displayed in this body? Paul said this, we're always bearing about in the body the dying of our Lord Jesus Christ, the sacrifice, the humility, the love, the patience of Christ. Blake, the image, always bearing about in our body, displaying the image, the true worship and service that's required or expected from us in these bodies. For verse 11, for we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be manifest in our mortal flesh. You know, when those in the Gospels, when they were, the men came, they said, we would see Jesus. And David said, and truly, we are to imitate Paul as he imitates Christ. Well, what is being transformed to the image of his son? Is that being transformed to Paul? No, he tells us that we should be renewed, transformed, not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind. And Romans 8 says that we are being conformed to the image of his son. Ephesians says the same thing, that we are to grow up into the measure and the stature of the fullness of Christ. Colossians says that we are to be renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. So the image is his son. We are to be more Christ-like. We are to let Christ be magnified in our lives, whether it's by life or by death. When I was saying about those men, they said, sirs, do you remember the rest of it? Sirs, we would see Jesus. We're looking for him. verse 11. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We, having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believe, and therefore I have spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak, knowing. There's that word again. Knowledge is power. Ignorance is weakness. Knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. You know, when I saw Ed come on today, I was abundantly thankful. And for all of you, but especially for him and Annette, because we know what they've been going through. And we thank God that his mercy and his grace was renewed and extended, and they are taking advantage of it and sharing with us. Even though it's maybe a sadness, but we thank God for the opportunity extended, for the grace extended. And we draw comfort and strength from their testimony. Same with Sharon, same with Johnny. These things, they help us. They don't hurt, they help us. For which cause we faint not. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, what do we see right now? When we look at ourselves, what do we see?
Pain and suffering.
We see pain and suffering, don't we?
Yeah.
We see decay.
A cracked earthen pot.
Yes. These things, when we see them, I think when we were at that funeral, we saw some guys that we had seen a long time. And I said, wow, this guy's, his hair still got some black in it. and Perry, he said that, at that time, he says, I was a little salt and pepper. He said, but now it's all salt. Well, when he looked at his hair, what could he tell?
I could tell it was gone.
It was it's not getting darker and more luscious. It's getting whiter and thinner.
Mm-hmm.
That means it's those hair follicles are starting to not produce.
Isn't that the law of entropy?
It's going to fall out anyway. But because it's being sown. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal. But the things which are not seen are eternal. For we know. Paul takes for granted that we know a lot of things, doesn't he?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So I think he got the wrong group, doesn't he? Because who said that? Says there's two types of ignorance. Somebody said some ignorance is by just not knowing some things. And Perry, you said that.
Yeah. Willful ignorance. Sometimes we're willfully ignorant. We know what to do, but choose not to.
Yes.
I think I was saying how the word ignorant is ignorance is a noun, but you use it as a verb. It would be ignore. We know what to do, but we ignore doing it. We choose not to do it.
Yes. Now, how could we ignore? Paul says, we know this, that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to keep on this clothing and this house.
No way, Jose.
What is that's willful ignorance. If you are trying to keep this clothing on and keep this house, let me rephrase that, because remember I told you about my grandmother, or her house is an old house, and she's always trying to keep it up, which I understand that. Is if you're gonna live in it, try to keep it up. But she said it's that house is me. Her identity was bound in the house. And that's not true. That house is not you. And I say that because what you see this house, you're looking at this house. This house is not me. The house that's falling down, that's not you. You are in the house. But the house is not you. Isn't that what Luther Vandross said? A house is not a home. That's right. A house is not a home unless, what do you say? Unless the two of us are together, something like that. So the house is not a home, but guess who you are in there. Guess who else is in there?
The Spirit. The Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit. Yes. And he's telling you this, for in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened. I know you can get an amen off that, right? Being burdened.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Not for that we would be unclothed. Now, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now, not that we would be unclothed. Nobody wants to die, but we want that new body, don't we?
Mm-hmm.
But there's only one way to get it. Well, there's only two ways to get it. But chances are, the way we're going to get it is we're going to have to go by way of the grave. The other way is if he actually comes back before, but he says that we are being burdened, not that we would be unclothed. I would like to see you guys every week. I would like to be seen every week. I would like to feel good every week, every day. I would like to be a sexagenarian, an octogenarian. I would like to get older and older and older, but you know, there's people who undress at a young age. Babies undress. When I say undress, they die. Now, there's some that maybe teenagers. And one guy said this. He says, "The chances are we won't make it out of this alive." but we are earnestly desiring that body. Verse 5. Now he that wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. The reason why Karen said this, we have the earnest of the Spirit. The reason why we have the Spirit is the earnest of our inheritance. It's the earnest that God has a new body for us. It's his assurance that I've got something better for you. And that's how the Spirit helps. He takes these things that we know, and he says, remember when I told you these things. Remember ye not that I told you these things? Remember, don't you remember that you know this? You do know this, right? The Spirit tells us, look, you know what time it is, don't you? Yeah. He's got to shake us. Like, wake up. You know this, right? Oh, yes. I forgot. He puts us in the remembrance of these things to help our infirmities. Back to 8, Romans 8, 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now, if the Spirit and I were on the same page in our infirmities, in our sufferings, in our persecutions, in our distress, in our tribulation, what would the Spirit suggest that we pray for? What would the Holy Spirit, if I says, okay, Holy Spirit, we're having some tribulation here, some distress, some persecution, some tribulation, some distress, all these words that we're going to look at in a minute here. If I went to the Spirit and sat down with the Spirit, like I'm sitting across from you, and I say, Holy Spirit, what should we pray for now? What do you think he would say?
Patience and endurance as we look for that blessed hope.
Okay. Anybody else?
Comfort.
You remember when Paul was on the boat in Acts 26 and the Lord appeared to him? He says, I'm paraphrasing this. He says, listen, Paul, you guys are going in. Everybody on here is going in, but they have to abide in the ship. He said, howbeit, we must be cast upon a certain island. So Paul knows we're going to have some tribulation. We're going to have a little crash here. But the Lord has told me that everything's going to be okay as long as you stay in here. We better look at that. Acts 27. Paul says this. Acts 27, verse 21. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me and not loosed from Crete, and to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer. Be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. When I told you that this body is not you, the life is inside the ship. The life is inside the vessel. The life is inside the vessel. So if this vessel is damaged, and now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul. Fear not. Fear not, Ed. Fear not, Annette. Fear not, Johnny. Fear not, Sharon. We'll put our names there. Fear not. Thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer. Wherefore, sirs, what's the gender neutral term for sirs? Sirs at? They got so many gender neutrals now. He says, wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer. For I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. Never, never, never be afraid. We have the hope that casts out all fear. That's what David says. Thank you, David. Never, never, never be afraid. Be of good cheer. I believe, God, that it shall be even as it was told me. Did God tell you that you would make it out of here without suffering?
No.
No. So when it comes, what do we do?
We try to be of good cheer.
Yeah. We try to, don't we?
Yeah.
So what would be as a couple now who has been through some tribulation, some distress, some depression, what would you share to the members of the body now?
That we're all in God's hands. He's always there for our prayer and supplication. He does say, have no fear, because I'm going to clothe you again.
he would say just what Paul said, be of good cheer.
Yes.
Yes, be of good cheer. And I think he said that verse, I can't remember that when he said that we must be cast upon a certain island. But at any rate, that's what we're looking at is Paul's attitude toward the tribulation that he knew was coming. But he had an
verse 26.
Yeah, he had an expectation beyond that, based on what he knew, based on what God told him. Okay, Romans 8, and then we'll finish up. Back to Romans 8, verse 27. And he, 26, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searches the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And he that searches the hearts, you know, the Holy Spirit's in us. He knows what you think. He knows what you feel. He knows your fear. He knows your confidence. All things are open and naked to him. He knows. And not only he knows what you're thinking, he knows what God is thinking. So he knows the weakness and he knows the strength. And his job is to shorten that gap, that knowledge, the weakness and the strength. He's got to get you on the same page with him. And that's what he says. And he that searches the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. To use an example from what we just read, when Paul began to get closer, they threw out a what we'll call a depth finder to see how close they were to the crash. And they sounded out, and it was so many fathoms. And they sounded out again. It's to see where they were. And remember, we're back in the beginning where Adam, when he fell off, the question that was asked, he asked him, where are you? Where are you, Adam? I'm searching for him. Where is he in this process of understanding the Spirit? He searches the hearts. He knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for us, for the saints, according to the will of God. Thank God for the Spirit. He takes the things that we don't know or that we are willfully suppressing, and he tries to make that connection to what is, to what I want, to what it is, to what I like, to what it is. And he has to bring those two together so we're on the same page. Not to bring God back to what you want, but but to bring you up to where God is. That's the Holy Spirit's job. And he does, he shortens that gap by knowledge. That's why it's up to us to not be conformed to the world, but to be transformed. That we can prove, as we test it out, try it out, that good, acceptable, shorten the gap, that good, acceptable, perfect will of God. That shortens the gap. That's a lifelong process of learning, and not just learning, but of remembrance. Like Perry said, some of these things we know, but they are either suppressed or forgotten, or we need to be refreshed. And we know, just real quick here, 26. Likewise, the Spirit helpeth our infirmities, for we know. 27. And he that searcheth the heart knoweth. Verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. Whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. You notice that God sees the end result. He sees you are already glorified. What shall we say then to these things? What things, Paul? To the infirmities, to the sufferings, to the tribulation, to the distress, to the persecution. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who could be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Now, he's not talking about all things, material things. He's talking about all the things that he's promised us, this adoption, this inheritance, all these the spiritual things, the spiritual blessings that we have, the acceptance, the imputation, all those things that we have access to comfort us, to strengthen us, to keep us, to encourage us, to educate us. Verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in most of these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us.
Oh.
You mean there's no exception, Melissa?
I wanted to say something, but I wanted to hear where you were this morning. Really been blessed to hear the word. Philippians, I just want to put this in our hearing and out of Philippians 4. As believers in Christ now, I believe that we have to be more spiritual minded focused. And we know that we're going to go through these things. And when I heard Annette's voice, just words of encouragement to you all. And Paul said it, in Philippians 4. He talked about whatever state he was in. We are able to do all things through Christ. Nothing about us that we are able to withstand anything that we suffer. Only in Christ we can suffer and be able to stand to tell others about what we had gone through. And that's why I said Philippians 4 verses 11 through 13. And I know you all are familiar with those scriptures, but we have to be as Paul, our apostle, and follow Christ in the spirit. That whatever you send my way, God, you in the midst of it with me. Not that I'm battling this by myself. not that I pull on the strength of myself. I want to take us out today. The Bible said we are crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, we live, yet not I. Take yourself out of the equation and say, God, you using, we, the Bible said we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. He dwells in us. So we take it off of us, out of the natural, and get into the spiritual realm that we may walk this thing out. Be an example. I didn't say we wasn't going to suffer some things, but I was going through some things and God gave this to me. He said, people always saying, I can do all things. He said, no, it's only through my spirit you're able to go through this. And I was like, oh, wow. Really? He said, you, what, in sickness, be content. Because you know he can heal you. And I knew that. Because he's done it before. So then to come back to that same door, I started questioning God. Are you really in this temple? You really going through the sickness with me? He said, in the spirit, you mine. I bought you. Take it off of you. You keep focusing on you and not on what Christ has done for you. He said, I am a healer. I'm a deliverer. Not only that, 2 Peter, 1 Peter 2, 5, he encouraged me with that. He said, you are a lively stone. Alive, we are a lively stone. We keep looking at the sufferings that we're going through, and he already told us we were going to do it. He's not a liar. We're going through some suffering. But it's where our focus has to change now. With high blood pressure, with diabetes, with not being able to do certain things, he said, even if he put me in the chair, my spirit belongs to him. And we have to stand fast and hold fast to the promise. And that's what the earth is waiting for. I heard you say that because we were talking about that on yesterday. The earth is waiting for the manifestations of the sons of God. And it's a spiritual being. Oh, yeah, we in earthly bodies, but the spirit of man, the sinners are still sitting there along with the earth waiting, saying, when the children of God going to show up? We in the earth, but we won't walk in the spirit. We won't just die out to what we feel or what we think, or I don't know. I'm talking about me too, because that was a fight. You know, God, wait a minute. You living in this temple, and I believe you, and this is what he gave me. He said, Melissa, whatever state you're in, maybe, you know, sometimes we forget that we didn't take care of our body when we were younger. So now that we older, we going through some things. We're suffering some things. You had that fried piece of chicken, and he's like, don't eat that. Boil it instead. But no, we ran and got it. So then we end up with ailments in our bodies now that we older. He said, no, whatever state you're in, you be content because you still can do all things through me. If I have anything to say, you can say it. But I'm just giving my testimony of what I feel that the Spirit is saying. Because we cannot dwell on, these are earthly tabernacles. They're going to die out. And yes, we are waiting. Our bodies are crying to get up out of here. But it's needful for us to stay here till he manifests us in the earth. I'm done.
Go ahead, Pierre.
I didn't unmute myself. No, as he was speaking at the end, she hit on as you know, Frank, one of my platforms. The scripture in Galatians 6, when he talks about he the sword to the flesh re-corruption. And I always, you know, speak on that verse. And she's right. A lot of the things that we've done in our 20s and teens and 30s, it may not make itself manifest until we get into our 50s, 60s, and 70s. But God is still able to keep you and sustain you when those things come your way. But don't think that because you all of a sudden have encountered these things that God's just going to remove them. He may not remove them, but like the sister said in Philippians chapter 4, he may not take them away, but he'll be there with you in it.
Melissa, you still had a question, or your hand is still up?
That hand just still up. I need to take it down.
Oh, okay. So now I will say this before we're going to read two more verses, if you can hang in there, two more passages. One's Philippians and one is Corinthians. Paul said this from the verse he just quoted in Philippians chapter 4. Paul said, to follow me. And he said the things that you, and David mentioned that too about following Paul as he followed Christ. But he said in Philippians 4 that the things that were, whatsoever things were, 4:8, whatsoever things were true, whatsoever things are honest, just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, any praise, think on these things, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. That's the knowledge again. Those are all experiential terms. How do you know this? I learned it. How do you know this? I received it. How do you know this? I heard it. How do you know this? I done it. I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye also were careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. In the direct passage is speaking about the financial necessity, economic, social supply. Now we broaden out the terms, and I'm not saying that that's not applicable, but he says this, I know, there it is, I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. So in the physical sense, I know when I feel good. I know when I feel bad. Everywhere and in all things, I am instructed. You can say.
That's right. It's something you have to learn.
You have to learn. And how do you learn it?
Experience.
You are told it, and then mm-hmm. you experience it. He says, I am both instructed how to be full and how to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. And I know how to be thankful when I feel good. I know how to be thankful when I feel bad. I've learned these things. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. There's the key. Like Melissa said, that's the key right there. Is what have you learned from him how to access that grace? That's what it is. And last verse, last passage, Second Corinthians chapter 11. And we know this, Paul says this. This is our one of our Pauline pet verses, right? Last passage. Second Corinthians 12. Paul, and he talks about his revelations and his abundant knowledge that he was going to receive and that he had already. All this knowledge that he had. Paul, in verse 7, says that, and lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Now that's the principle we've been looking at all through the lesson. Depending upon him, the Spirit making intercession, waiting for the adoption, outward man perishing, inward man being renewed. All these things add up to us relying on his grace, his ability to sustain us. Paul, with all his revelation that he was getting, he says, I asked the Lord, not one time, not two times, but three times, which means it was a enduring issue. Now, I don't think he woke up and one day he asked the Lord, and then 2 days later, he asked him again, and then two more, he asked him again. I think this was this speculation that it was spread out over some time. Like, how long am I going to have to endure this? For this thing, I besought the Lord thrice that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. For, that's the pivotal word there, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. So as long as Paul was disconnected from the strength, he was going to find that necessity. He was going to struggle with it. You say, I don't quite get it. I think Melissa alluded to this. When you're trying to find the answer and it's looking right at you, or he has told you that these things are going to happen. When Paul was first commissioned, what did the Lord tell him? I will show thee how easy this ministry is going to be.
What things? Ye shall suffer.
You shall what?
Suffer.
How great things he must suffer.
Yeah.
So when it came time, like Perry say, to reap the harvest, Paul says, I don't like this. I don't like this, Lord. And he says, wait a minute. My grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is, it's my body, right? I did buy it, right? Well, you don't tell me how much I can use it. Well, you can tell me how much I can use it, but you can't tell me what I want to do with it. In other words, the Lord was saying that if I want to carry you along, Paul, I will. But if you're trying to do it, then that's not a winning formula. Grace is us relying on what he told us is going to happen, what he is going to supply, not what we can do, not how we can fix it. He says, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength reaches its desired effect in your weakness. You ever, I'm using this first thing that came to my mind is when you're wrestling with somebody, like Jacob wrestled, and they tell you, they say uncle. That means, okay, I give up. Then I'm totally at your disposal. That's where his grace is. His grace wants you totally at his disposal for his worship and service. And then he could, whatever the magnification is in life or death, he can do that. But as long as you're trying to call some shots, you're going to always, maybe you're not on the same page as God. So that the information is what gets us on the same page. And then the quicker that we find out what his will is and rest in it, the quicker we have peace. And his grace will be sufficient. His strength will be made perfect in weakness. And then we can most gladly, we could rather glory in infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. And you can take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecution, in distresses. For when I'm weak, then am I strong. Now, that's a Pauline doctrine that nobody wants to learn. That's a hard lesson. When he talks about in Philippians, I learned this. So class for us, class is always in session for us. That grace class, grace 101. that's tough lessons to learn, aren't they? So thank you guys for helping in the class, participating. Remember, we pray for one for another, pray for the body, that the Lord would strengthen us according to our needs and his purpose. We'll close in prayer and then let you guys make some comments. Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you for your word, for recording these things. We pray, as always, for more insight, enlightenment, for encouragement, for edification, for strength, for comfort, as we read and believe your word. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.